the Nativity help us record and remember the story of Jesus. And I want us to read a passage of scripture that's very much linked to all that we've seen. I mean, there's lots of different passages in the Bible that we could sort of piece together, which we have done for this Nativity. I just want to share just one part with you. Before we do that, I just wanted you to consider this question, and maybe we could see it on the screen. When you think of the word king, what do you think of? When you hear the word king, we've just sang about a king. And is that your idea of a king? When you, you know, we just sang, born is the king. And maybe in your mind, you get a picture of a king who's very regal, very, well, very rich, actually, you know, with lots of gold and looking very smart. Or maybe when you hear the word king or think of a king, you think of the next one, a warrior king, like a bit like King Arthur, who's going to lead his people into battle, and he's a fighter and a warrior, a strong king. Next slide. What do you think of? Any words come to mind when you hear the word king? Anyone want to shout out any words that come to mind when they hear the word king? What do you think of? Ruler. Powerful. Good. Anything else? Judge. So in a position of authority and power. Royal. Riches, yeah, often really rich, yeah. Well, Jesus is a king, but he's a king like no other. Like no other. And we're going to see in a number of ways how he's a king like no other. And I just want us to start looking at these verses from Matthew chapter 1. So the words will be on the screen. If you've got Bibles, do look them up. Straight from this, you know, this story. So we've heard the story of Jesus, and in many ways, the whole of the Bible is about Jesus, but this is how his birth came about. It's titled in my Bible, it's just added there so that we understand what the passage is about. Joseph accepts Jesus as his son. Verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus, the promised Messiah, so really the promised king, Messiah is a word that it could also be understood to be Christ. That's the same word as Christ. And it really means God's promised king. God's king. God's promised king. The birth of God's promised king came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us that there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So looking at this passage and looking at the rest of the Bible, actually, and other parts of the Bible, we see again that Jesus was a king, but a king like no other in that he had a birth like no other. I mean, what other king do you know of had a birth like this that we've seen? Born in, well, essentially placed in a manger because there was no room for him anywhere in Bethlehem at that time. He ended up in a cattle shed or in a cave or an outhouse. No one was there to witness it. You think of Will and Kate's kids. When the babies are born, the press are there and there's lots of nurses there and there's lots of people waiting for this birth. Well, Jesus was born in a very private, very quiet affair, born in a stable, very humble affair, born to parents who were not what you'd expect of a king. Mary and Joseph, a teenage girl, possibly a teenage lad as well, who's just a simple guy, just training to be, or already qualified, we don't know, a carpenter. And they weren't from anywhere special. A town called Nazareth was where they're from, even though Jesus was born in Bethlehem. They were from a town called Nazareth. And I mentioned this last week, but someone said about Nazareth, can anything good come out of Nazareth? It's that kind of place. Nowhere town. Nobody thought anything special about Nazareth. It was a place where the people who used to populate that land, well, they were quite poor and to others, insignificant, unimportant. And that's the place where Jesus' parents came from. And as I say, he was born into such humble settings. It was a birth like no other. But a birth like no other, especially for a king. A birth like no other. But it wasn't just his parents and the place or even the circumstances that his birth came about which made it so special. We heard in the passage what made it incredibly special, a birth like no other, because it was God becoming man. It's crazy, isn't it? God becoming man as a baby, entering into the womb of Mary. It happens twice in the passage we see it, 18, verse 18, verse 20, also at the end. The baby that will be born, the angel said, is going to be born by the Holy Spirit, God himself. At the end of the passage, it says that he would be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. I mean, that it's just a birth like no other. God entering into human form via the womb of Mary to be born as a baby, a birth like no other, God becoming man. And, well, his life was like no other as well. A life like no other king. Let's start on that. No other king had a life like this that I know of. I don't know about you, if you can tell me any that are like Jesus, but he lived a normal life. He went to school. He learned a trade. He had a trade. He became a carpenter. He was just like us. So what king is like us, like most of us? I don't know if any of you are of royal blood, waiting in line. No, probably not. Maybe you are. Let us know. But I'm not. I'm just a normal guy. And Jesus lived a life like a normal guy, even though he was a king. Even though he was a king. So let's say he was born today, or born around this time, lived around this time, in this place, Abbey Wood, Plumstead, Woolwich. You could have gone to school with him. You could have been at school with Jesus. You could be a colleague at work. He could have fixed your roof or built the chairs and tables that you sit at. He could have been involved in fitting your kitchen. So you could have come across Jesus because he was just a normal guy. I don't think I've got any chance of having a conversation even with William, the future King of England. But Jesus was just around normal people. He was just a normal guy. So for a king, it was like a life like no other. But again, not just as a king, it was life like no other, but as a person, it was a life like no other. A life like no other person who's ever lived, because the Bible tells us that Jesus never did a single thing wrong, ever. Now, all of us, if we're honest and admit it, we all do some stuff wrong. We think things wrong, we do things wrong, we treat people wrongly. The Bible calls that sin, and it says in the Bible, Jesus was without sin. On the other hand, it says, all have sinned. So it says, everybody's a sinner. So it's a life like no other, because he's the only person who's ever lived on planet Earth who never did anything wrong. So it was a unique life, a life like no other. Another side to him was the miracles he performed, healing the sick, and blind people could see. He even walked on water and calmed the waves. He had power like no other. So he showed how he was the king of all things, king of the universe. He had power over illness. He had power over wind and waves. He had power over death even. He even rose a guy from the dead. So he had a life like no other, even though he was very normal and like us in many ways. A life like no other. And the fact that he was perfect, he never did anything wrong, put him in a position, placed him in a position to basically deal with all the things that we've done wrong, to die actually in our place. It tells us in the Bible that the wages, what we deserve, what's the result of doing wrong things, is death. Now, I know we're all going to die, and that is partly because, in the beginning, Adam and Eve sinned, and we heard about that at the beginning of our nativity. People went against God, and we continue to do that. And the result of that is death. But it's not only death, physical death. The result of our sin is death to a relationship with God. It's about separation from God. Death is about separation, isn't it? It's about being separated. And spiritual death, the result of sin is separation from God forever. So that's why God came. God came to deal with that separation, to bridge the gap between us and God. And that's where Jesus' death comes in. It was a death like no other. It was a death which didn't have to happen in some ways, because Jesus never sinned. So if Jesus never sinned, he didn't have to die. But he did have to die for us to be able to come to God and not stay separated from God, for us to have a relationship with God and a friendship with God. And so his death was necessary for us. But it was the only death that could do what was needed. It was the only death that could basically bring us to God. We could all pay our own price and die for ourselves and our sin, but Jesus died for our sin instead. And he did that because he's a man, and he could die in our place as humans, as a human. Because he was also God, his death is of infinite value for everybody. That is everybody who will believe and receive that gift. And all you have to do is just trust in the name of Jesus. So he's got a name like no other. A name like no other. It says in the Bible that if you call on the name of Jesus, you'll be saved. And it's talking about saved from our sin. Joseph was told, call him Jesus. His name's to be Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So that name was loaded with significance, loaded with power. Because the name Jesus simply means God saves. And this was God in the form of man saving. Jesus Christ was God in the form of man on the cross saving, dying in our place. And so it says in the Bible in the first chapter of John, to all who receive him, he gives the right, he gives the power to become children of God, to come into relationship with God, to no longer be separated from God, but to be able to be with him and enjoy him forever. And we saw in the passage that, what did Joseph do? Well, Joseph had a bit of a dilemma initially. Joseph and Mary are married. Pledged to be married. They weren't yet married. And yet Mary was pregnant. And how can that be? And Joseph was really confused. But God, through the angel, came to Joseph and said, don't worry. The baby is from God. It's God become man. And it tells us there in the passage we read, what did Joseph do? He had this dilemma. He thought, shall I divorce her? Shall I reject this baby? But no, after the angel told him exactly who this baby was, that it was God, become man, come to save, Joseph received Jesus. He didn't reject him. He received him. And that basically, friends, is all we have to do. To come into relationship with God now and forever, and to enjoy his kingdom, the eternal kingdom, with Jesus, the King, forever and ever, all we have to do is receive the gift of Jesus. Believe that he's God, become man, come to save us, come to die in our place for our sin. It may seem weird celebrating Jesus' birth and talking about death, but Christmas and Easter, it's a package. It's part of the story. It's the whole story. And we have to understand that that's why Jesus came. He was born to die so that we could know Jesus, know God, and know him forever. And Joseph, as we see there, Mary and Joseph, their baby, they're worshipping. They're recognizing that Jesus is this king like no other, which is the last slide, I think. A king like no other. Born in incredible circumstances. Born in a crib. Put in a crib. In a manger. Because there's no room. He went to the cross, which is why he came, but is now resurrected, arose from the dead, conquered death for us, and is king, and king of kings, and lord of lords, and he reigns forever, and he's going to be ruler of the whole of the universe forever and ever and ever, and he invites you and me to, in a sense, be princes and princesses with him, heirs to his throne, to join him in his eternal, glorious kingdom. And like Joseph, all we have to decide is reject or receive. And when we receive him, we know the joy of his presence in our life, Emmanuel, God with us. And we know the joy of going to heaven, being able to be with him forever. So we want to finish our service with a song of joy. It's called Joy to the World. It's a song that many will know, but it's got an extra sort of chorus in there. So we're just trying to sing that out for you. If you know it, join in. But it recognizes that there's the reason for joy is because Jesus is Savior. So we're going to shout, we're going to sing, we're going to celebrate as we sing this song.